been a level up season for you. You moved out here with your family, planted a church, transitioned from that role recently, and now are the executive pastor at an awesome church in the city. You're crushing it. You're making a difference. But there's been a ton of level up leadership moments throughout the season, and we're going to jump into some of that content here today. And so I'm grateful for my man, Pastor Ryan Ivey, in the studio at the table. Level Up Leadership Podcast. This is episode 24, bro.
Wow.
Come on.
Kobe episode.
I need a dap for that. This is the Kobe this is the Mamba episode, so it's got to be good. It's got to be real, yeah. And it has to have level up moments to it. And I just want to take a quick moment to address anybody on the other side of a YouTube screen, a link, wherever you stream podcast content, encourage you to subscribe, maybe drop a review or a comment. Maybe put some stars on that thing. That might help somebody else click on this and level up in their leadership. That's what we're doing. Every time we do an episode, it's for the purpose of glorifying God and leveling up in leadership, which I think everybody's called to lead, to grow in their leadership. And that's why I wanted to do this podcast. And I know you're a growing leader. And so let's jump into the content here today, man.
Yeah, so good. Excited to be here.
Let's go, man. Hey, and just really quick, Alabama basketball.
Hey, made it to the Final Four. So
Final Four.
Can't take much more than that, you know, from Alabama. But
they're usually, you know, they're usually up there in the football season. Shout out to the Roll Tide.
That's right.
But I was impressed with this Alabama basketball team making it all the way to the Final Four. Legit. I mean, they lost to UConn, who ended up winning it all.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Second best, then.
We'll give him second best. We'll give him second best. And, it's April, and there's a lot for us to jump into. And so, man, I just want to start with some of your story. You are from Mobile, Alabama, and you grew up a believer, a Christian. Let's talk a little bit about it.
Yeah. I come from a family that wanted to have me in church from a very early age, but church was another thing to compete in. I love to compete in everything that I'm in, and church was just another thing for that. So I was going to make sure we had these envelopes where you literally checked boxes. I was going to make sure I checked more boxes than everybody else until I just encountered Jesus for the very first time. Had this moment where just found out there wasn't enough boxes I could check, enough things that I could do to kind of earn God's favor, and I needed a relationship with Him.
Right.
And from there, just pretty early, and just really surrendered my whole life to the Lord, and began even pursuing ministry. Got the opportunities to preach even from 11, 12 years old. And,
wow.
And just really just began growing in that. And so,
fire.
Yeah.
Went to college at University of Mobile.
That's right.
Go Rams.
Go Rams.
Let's
Come
go.
On.
and really felt a call to ministry early on, like you mentioned, and was part of an awesome church there in Mobile, Crawford Baptist Church.
That's right.
Shout out to Dr. J. And met your wife, Kirsten.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, we actually met in high school.
Come on.
Started dating our senior year of high school.
Hey.
We always said we were kind of like some old souls, and we felt like we grew up a lot faster than everybody else. So we got married super young, but man, it's been so good. About to celebrate 9 years of marriage.
Sick,
here,
man.
Pretty soon.
That's
so
dope, man. I feel like I've known you like a lot of those nine.
For sure.
And it's been dope to see you leveling up in your leadership throughout all of it. Two kids.
Mm-hmm.
A boy who's four.
Four.
Samson.
Yeah, Samson's four.
Let's go, man. He's got a nice little voice on him too. He's gonna be a worship leader.
He's gonna do some awesome things.
He'll do something.
Yeah.
And then baby Remy.
Remy
is now
a year and a half. Yeah, she's running all over the place.
Shout out to mom, Kirsten Ivy, an awesome leader as well. And so, you know, I started off by just saying, man, it's really an interesting season you're in because you just came out of a transition moment. And I just think what's really unique about your story is, you know, you moved out here to plant a church. You guys did that Image Church, a new church in the Mountains Edge area, did a residency with us here at Walk, planted a church. Right around the two-year mark, you just started to feel this stirring of, I wonder if God may be calling us to something different, or maybe you're trying to pray through vision for the next season and just were feeling like you were running into some roadblocks. But I don't know. Talk about where you were at that led to the next step of transition.
Yeah, we got into a season where we finally, man, one of our values as a church was God dependence, but I feel like if you preach that too much, God's going to really make you live it out.
Right.
And so we got to a moment where so many other things were happening. I mean, 2023 was probably the hardest year of my life for, you know, a ton of different reasons. And I feel like the Lord said, hey, if you're really going to fully depend on me, we're going to see that. And so in just a moment of just desperation for the Lord, me and my wife, Kirsten, just really began to fully depend on God and say, hey, God, whatever you have for us next in this season, we're open to it, whatever that is. And we began praying through that and, you know, inviting some other people to speak into that and
right.
and began listening. And just through that, just season of desperately depending on the Lord, God began to make it clear that he just had a different plan for the next, you know, 5 years of our life, 10 years, whatever that's going to look like. And part of that was evolving from getting on a different seat of the bus, right? Yeah. I always kind of saw myself as in a certain position of church or what that looked like. And I feel like God began speaking to me. He's like, and I have big plans for you, but it's going to look differently than you ever thought it was going to.
Wow.
And it's going to be better.
Yeah. That's good, man.
And that wasn't an easy kind of thing to come to, or even like it wasn't in a moment, but over a season of months and people speaking into that and God moving things and orchestrating things, working things out, it really became really clear that God had something even better in store.
Yeah, it takes faith, right? Like to believe that his plan is going to lead to an even better moment. And I thought it was dope just in my own journey, walking with you through that season. I remember connecting with Pastor Joseph from Favor City, who in his own lane of church planting was sharing with me, man, I'm just praying. I'm seeking the Lord. I'm God dependent to get the right person on the right seat of the bus when it comes to leading this thing. And I want to do it together. I want it to be a partnership, a brotherhood. I'm believing for that. And you know, he was grateful for the team that was already forming there at Favor City, but felt like there were some pieces that still needed to get put together in this leadership puzzle. Mm-hmm. And man, as you were sharing where you were at, he was sharing where he was at, it was almost like the Lord was orchestrating this divine appointment for you two brothers to link up. But I think it took a lot of humility on your part to be able to close a chapter, to really level up into a new chapter. Right? Like it took not just, I think there's sometimes a lot of leaders are, you know, become their own lid because they want control and they want to hold on to things in their own strength because it becomes their identity.
Yeah.
Like you didn't allow the church that you guys planted to be your identity. Like, who am I without Image Church? You're like, I'm a lot of things. I'm a son. I'm loved by the Lord. I'm called by God. It doesn't change my calling to the city, to ministry, to leadership. I'm a friend. I'm a brother. I'm a pickleball player. Come on, right?
That's right.
But like, I think you're a preacher, right? You're passionate about the word. So you're all these things, even without a specific title. And I think I honor you for just your don't hold on to your current role or title too tight that the Lord couldn't even move you, because even in his movement, it's always for a level up.
Yeah, absolutely. You were instrumental in that and just helping me see even a lot of that, right? Because there, even if it looks like some of that on this end, you know, it's definitely a struggle and something to
have to... That's not to say it wasn't a struggle. My bad.
But, you know, wrestling with like, hey... Am I really about the kingdom, right? Is really what it came down to, because there were some feelings of, no, I'm really about the kingdom if that means, you know, what I'm doing for my church.
Wow.
But it had to come, no. If I want to really do more for the kingdom of God, then this was the move. And you even helped me see that throughout this process and God working things out with Pastor Joseph and the team. And so it just really... began to make so much more sense that, I mean, this is the kingdom move.
Yeah, kingdom impact, right?
Yeah, that we can do just so much more together.
More together.
Than we ever could separate.
So. Well, shout out to your, again, your openness to kingdom, right? Matthew 6 says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. It doesn't say seek first your church or seek first your platform or seek first your comfort, but seek first his kingdom. And man, I'm just grateful for that. Favor City Church just had their biggest service of all time on Easter Sunday. How was that, man?
Man, it was incredible to see so many people. The very first time we were able to have two services at Green Valley High School, and man, 10 people gave their life to Jesus. Just
300
just
so plus in attendance. Yeah.
And so God was just moving in so many cool ways. And that was really like an eye-opening moment for God to say, man, this is, you know, one of the things that I was just preparing you for and creating space for.
No doubt.
And so
man.
Just so excited for what's still to come.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And, you know, sometimes when I do connect with Pastor Joseph, like he'll make it even in like an organic way, just to like mention, man, just how much of a breath of fresh air you are to the leadership team, to his life, and to the church. And so, man, I'm grateful for that. And I thought it would be cool because I think sometimes we spotlight a lot of really successful stories and we spotlight longevity. And I think that there's a lot of level up leadership ingredients in that. Great. And that was what your commitment was to. But I think there needs to be more stories of just whatever the Lord wants to do. And for the purpose of level up leadership, it's God, you have our yes. And what you want to do with that is totally up to you, right? And I think that this is just a great testimony of leveling up through transition. And so I'm glad we got to hit that. Now I want to go ahead and talk a little bit about some of the stuff you're currently doing as the executive pastor of Favor City, where you're bringing leadership to the team there and thinking about the topic of goal setting. I know sometimes when I get around you, I'm inspired by your fight for clarity to get goals down on paper and not just put them down, but actually achieve them. I know that you want to have the right goals and you want to be able to get to a certain timeline and see those goals accomplished. So let's just talk about goal setting in the life of the leader. Where does your mind go when you hear me first start that?
Absolutely. Man, I think everybody should have goals in their life and every area of their life, right? You should have goals for your work,
every
your family,
area.
Your marriage.
Let's go.
Like you need goals and they should be bigger than you. You know, I love setting big goals. The tough part for me was just always being around just very visionary leaders, which is so awesome to dream up just huge goals, but to really help think through like what do we need to do today to accomplish that 10-year goal, right?
Yeah.
That's because I want us to have those big faith 10-year, 5-year goals, but I'm a little bit more simple. I need to know, man, what is the goal that I need to accomplish today? And some of the kind of circles that I've heard kind of frame some of this. Some of them call them a little bit different, but I love kind of the distinguish between input goals and output goals. Right, most people's goals are what we would call output goals, right? That they're going to say, hey, after this amount of time, we hope this happens as a result of everything we do, right? An output goal is, man, we hope Walk Church grows by 20% this year, right? As a result of everything that we do, the output is this.
Yeah, we want this to be the output.
Right.
We want this to be the fruit of it.
Yeah, you know, that we have a goal of losing 50 pounds or being more fit, or you have a goal of, you know, being closer in your marriage, or being closer in your relationship with the Lord, right? Those are all like result output goals. But every one of those goals really need to be broken down into input goals.
Input.
Right? So what do I need to do today? What is my goal for today to hopefully eventually allow me to accomplish that output goal? Right, so one that I got to see just kind of front seat for your life, you were just recently telling me about, is like, man, how do we get our first time guest to really be the second time visitor, third time, or like to keep coming? And you were just telling me about something. You're like, all right, so how do we want guests to come back?
Right,
that's the output goal. So what do I need to do every single Sunday to help that happen? And you were just telling me about something you guys started doing. To make that happen with videos.
With the videos, no doubt, man. Yeah, and this is a shout out to a friend of mine, Pastor Brett Capace here in the city. He gave me this idea, which was just every time a connection card comes in to your church, somebody is wanting to connect, they fill it out first time, or they got a next step, you know, right there on Sunday, I just get a quick peek at those, and then I'm just doing a video right there on my phone, just saying, let's just say the person's name is Joe. Why do we always pick the name Joe or John?
It's
right?
Easy.
Just pick, you know, yeah. Just say that, hey, Joe, man, super grateful you came today. I'm checking out your connection card. Praise God for, you know, this next step in your life. And, man, I hope to meet you at some point. And so, yeah, we're just shooting those off. And
yeah. I mean, that's a huge input goal. So now you need to know, you know, what you got to do every Sunday.
Right.
Right. If you want to see in 6 months your retention grows by 20-30%, usually we set those goals and then we just get 6 months down the road. It's like, did it get better? But we didn't do anything
right.
to make it better.
Wow.
Right.
It's like that old quote, like nothing changes if nothing changes.
For sure.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, and I really began thinking about this when I read the book Atomic Habits with James Clear. And one of my favorite quotes from that book is he says, a plan without a strategy is a dream you'll never achieve. And so, you know, figuring out these input goals is really the strategy to accomplish the lofty goals that we have for our life.
Bro, you're speaking to me right now on all my book writing goals and, you know, camp, et cetera, all this stuff.
Yeah.
We're doing, you know, this is helpful content. It's helping me level up. I hope it's helping you level up. Keep going, bro.
Yeah. Well, and I just think that's how we got to, you know, break down everything, right? Everybody wants to get more fit. But what do you got to break that down into? What is your weekly goal? I know
right.
for me this year, you know, I have a goal by my next birthday to get the most fit I've ever been. But that's kind of arbitrary, right? That's an output goal.
Yeah.
But what I've realized is for me what that's going to look like. In January, it was 5 miles a day, right? I got to get those in.
Did you say 5 miles a day?
5 miles a day. That's walking. That's everything.
Okay,
you know?
Okay.
That's,
yeah,
that's,
yeah. That's, by the same, bro.
Just getting 5 miles.
You don't
got to
make everybody feel bad on the session right now.
but that's increasing half a mile each month. So February was 5.5. March was 6. Now we're at 6.5 this month. But I know for me to achieve that larger goal, I got to hit these daily goals.
Yeah.
Right? I got to be in the gym 4 days a week. Right? Now I kind of have these manageable goals. Mm. And so now I know 6 months in, I can then determine, man, if I've been consistently hitting those input daily goals, now I can know if I'm on track to hit that output goal. And so that's something that's really began helping me kind of make goals a lot more manageable.
Manageable goals.
And focused.
Yeah, you can level up in your leadership by having manageable goals,
mm-hmm.
not just having goals.
Yeah.
Because James Clear, right, he says that can easily become just a wish that you'll never achieve.
Well, because everybody has a goal that they hadn't hit, right? You know, a New Year's resolution or what have you, or maybe a reoccurring goal that you just continue not to hit. But I think whenever we can make that a reality of, hey, what do I got to do today?
Right.
Then we can get there.
Get a little bit better today.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see the result tomorrow.
For sure.
You'll see the output. No, that's really good, man. I think that I'm trying to apply that in my own life. Just right now, I've been working on some writing projects, a devotional, and then even a children's book.
Mm.
And yeah, I think if you don't have those, there's always stuff competing, right? There's always other yeses competing with your goals.
Absolutely.
Right? And so I think if you don't have the prioritization to daily do something that's manageable, you just might not get to it.
Yeah.
Right? It might be a month later and you're like, oh man, I got that goal, but I'm already knee deep in something else. And so I think that that's a good way to level up and that you've experienced some fruit in that, you know, in your own life, man.
Yeah.
No, it's fire. So I'm thinking through that. And I want to take one more redirection, if you would, in this podcast as, you know, in the last chapter of our dialogue here today. And I just want to talk about this. It's like this acronym that I've heard you use, GED.
Yeah.
Right? And we're not talking about, you know, passing high school, but just an acronym for how to not just be a level-up leader, but one that others want to follow.
Yeah.
So talk about the acronym GED and
absolutely.
Let's jump into that a little
bit. And to me, I think this even just really puts into play kind of those output-input goals.
Yeah, let's do it.
And, because I think every leader should strive for more joy in your life, right? That sounds like a great idea. It's like, yeah, I would love to be happier. I'd love to have more joy. But I know Craig Groeschel, he always says, hey, everybody wins when the leader gets better.
Right.
But I think everybody's happier when the leader is happier, when the leader is experiencing more joy.
Yeah, it's contagious. Yeah,
absolutely. And people want to be around somebody that is experiencing more joy.
Facts.
But I definitely don't think that's what a lot of leaders are focused on. Mm. And so I just kind of came up with this, you know, just short little acronym that would help. Like, just saying, hey, I need more joy in my life is a really just kind of lofty goal. How do we break that down again to just daily input goals to make that happen?
So give us some goal ideas on how to be more joyful, bro. Like, that's probably a helpful thought for many people.
Yeah, yeah. That, man, that first one is just growing gratitude. One of my favorite things about—
Is that the G?
That's the G. The G, grow in gratitude.
Got it.
And one of the things that I love about the Bible, there's only two places in all of the Bible that says God's will, God's plan for your life. The first one is sanctification, that you become more like Jesus. The second one is that you give thanks in all circumstances, right? So God's plan for our lives is that we would be thankful. I mean, if you look at the whole Old Testament, all these feasts and festivals that the Lord set up were all to remember and be thankful for God's provisions for our life.
Right.
And I know for leaders, we're always trying to look at what we can improve, what we can get rid of, what we can, fix in our organizations and things. It really leads us to be pretty critical, pretty negative. And I like to always say, man, you're going to find whatever you're looking for. And if you're finding for the problems, you're going to find. I mean, if you're looking for the problems, you're going to find them. But I think, man, if you're looking for the things to be thankful for, you're always going to find them. And so as leaders, we need some daily rhythms of growing in gratitude. For us, what that looks like, me and my son, every night, we do our thankful fours. So we got to say, hey, at least three things that we're thankful for, up to 10. We'll see, you know, how he's feeling that night. But we got to strategically look at things, look at our day, look at our life, and just point out the God moments.
What are you thankful for?
Work. Yeah.
Dang.
I think another one that leaders should really implement is maybe just once every day you tell somebody in your life that you're grateful for them. Yes. You know, a lot of times we're usually talking to people, like correcting them. But I think, man, if we were communicating to people how grateful we are for them, and that'd make such a difference.
At least just one. If you have an input goal that today I'm going to find one person in my life, I'm going to tell them I'm grateful for them.
Yeah,
it'll help change your attitude.
And why? You know, why are you grateful for them?
Mm.
Maybe one a week. You know, you're like, I don't know that many people. Yeah. You know, but set the goal and let's try to hit it. Let's grow in gratitude. Mm-hmm. I think huge foundation that the Lord would even really point out.
This is well for you.
Yeah.
It's good.
The second one, the E, is eliminate downers. Eliminate things that just trip you up. Eliminate things that just can mess up your day.
Yeah. Talk about it.
Man, two of them for me in my life. This one, we all have things we get irrationally mad about. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. Like, in things that shouldn't make us as mad as it does. I know for me, I'm usually the one that gets our kids ready for school. And almost every morning, I would get so frustrated by having to pick out my daughter's clothes. Right? Because it's always going to be wrong. I'm going to put shorts with a dress that never should have happened. And, you know, it's going to be all messed up, or I can't find any socks. And so what I was able to do is go to my wife and say, hey, could you just every night before pick out her clothes, or even Sunday, pick them all out for the week? Like, could you just eliminate that downer, that obstacle in my life?
Right.
And man, it's transformed my mornings. Right, like that's never tripping me up anymore.
That's good.
That's never throwing off, you know, because if you mess up your morning, it can, you know, sometimes mess up your whole day.
Facts.
But I've just gained so much joy just from even that.
Just eliminating the downer.
Eliminating a downer. And I know another one for me, another input goal, is emails are frustrating to me, right? Because 95% of them are, you know, crazy marketing emails. And so I have a goal to unsubscribe from an email every day.
Wow. Jeez.
So I'm unsubscribing. And,
you're the unsubscribe guy?
Oh, yeah. Gotta be.
Gotta be.
It's going to save so much frustration on the back end.
You don't want no notifications that are unnecessary.
None of them. I don't ever want no red dot on my notifications. Man, I don't want to see yours.
I need help. hey, Ryan doesn't want the unsubscribe button. He wants the eliminate button.
That's it.
Just boom, eliminate.
Don't ever
these.
Talk to me again.
Dang. Okay. Helpful.
But yeah, we all have things that like, or maybe just even frustrate us a little bit.
I'm not even going to show you my email.
Please don't.
My red bubble number right now. Yikes. Keep going.
But that's one for me. Like, you know, I'm just going to say, hey, this frustrates me. I'm gonna try to eliminate it.
Right.
You know, and whatever that could be for your life. Find out something that is easily trips you up, easily can mess up your day. Eliminate it. Find ways to.
Yeah. It's going to increase your joy. Eliminate the downers.
Yeah. And then lastly, man, leaders are just so busy, have so much going on, but we got to figure out time to do stuff you enjoy. That's the D. Do stuff you enjoy.
Great.
Whatever that may be, and you're like, man, I love work. I love what I do, but you got to do something outside of that.
Right.
I know you've recently really been tapping in with that, with basketball.
Right.
That's so much a part of you and your story. You're like, man, I got to get back to it even more.
Right.
That happened for me. Like my wife knows that I'm just a happier, more joyful person when I get to go play pickleball once a week, you know, or when I get to work out consistently. Yeah. Like I gotta have those times.
It affects you as a leader.
And it affects, all the time, right? Even this 1 hour can really impact the other 23 in your day. And so I just think that's so important that man, if leaders could begin to figure out hey, what are those small steps every week of growing in gratitude, eliminating downers, and then doing stuff you enjoy, man, I really think that would increase leaders.
That's how you get the GED in joy. Man, if you want to get a GED in joy, let me just make sure I got it right. You got to, well, because I was thinking gratitude, but what's the word?
Yeah.
It's grow.
Yeah,
you got to grow in gratitude. You got to look for ways to be grateful, and you got to find somebody that you're grateful for. That'll help you grow in gratitude. That'll help other people grow in gratitude for you as the leader.
Yeah.
You got to hit the E, eliminate the downers.
That's right.
And you got to do something that brings you some joy. That can be put a little wind in your sails, be life-giving for you and for others as well. And I think that, that'll help you, as this sign says, have a level-up season in your life.
Absolutely.
It's good, bro. Man, I'm grateful for that. One thing we do as a closing word on this podcast, whenever we have somebody join us, is just try to personalize it. Somebody's on the other side. Someone's driving, running, watching this right now. And would you just look in this camera and would you just give them a personalized word from Ryan Ivey on how they can level up in this season?
Yeah. Man, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, I just know, especially as somebody that struggles with anxiety, depression, if nothing else seems to be going your way right now in this season, I just really want you to know that there's a God that loves you so incredibly much, and that everything that possibly good has happened in your life or that will happen, that's from Him, and He cares about you fully and completely. And I just would say, man, look for something to be thankful for in your life. And if you can't think of anything else, just know that there's a God that loves you and cares for you.
Thankful
and there's
for
nothing
him.
More to be thankful for than that.
That's great, man. No, dope. Yeah, I think I'm a better leader when I'm a more thankful leader. Because leadership is all about, right, shout out to John Maxwell, influence, people that are following you, you know, if you're like, man, I'm the best leader, I don't ever talk to anybody, I'm going to question that because leadership has to do with people. And I just found that when you're more grateful, attitude of gratitude, man, it jumps on top of people.
Absolutely.
And you create a culture where celebration and gratitude is the thing.
Right.
And I'm grateful for you doing that, grateful for your friendship, your brotherhood, being a part of what we've done for the past several years. It's a big deal. And man, excited for all that's to come, bro. Let's keep leveling up.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for allowing me to be on and excited for all that's to come.
Let's go. Hey, as we close, just want to say thanks for jumping on today. Consider hitting that subscribe button one more time. Let us know in the comments or in some type of message what you got out of today. We'd love to hear about how God is using this podcast to just help you grow, help you get a little bit better. And we'll look forward to seeing you next time. God bless. Peace.